You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
The Around the NFL podcast is only as old as they feel.
From the Chris Wessling podcast studio, it's Around the NFL. I am Dan Hansis. Room heroes everywhere. Mark Sessler, Greg Rosenthal, the great Colleen Wolf. How is everybody?
We're great. Really good.
That's a great zummy drop because it is Greybeards Day here on Around the NFL. And we're going to get to it in a little bit, breaking down the best remaining free agents, age 30 and over. And it's a pretty decent crop. I'm not going to say it's as good as the team last year, which I predicted would be 10-7. A lot of pushback.
What did the Greybeards finish in the end last season?
As usual, they ended up at 4-13. but I had a lot of optimism about the Greybeards last year. This team, I'm not as pumped about.
I mean, they were better than the Bears and the Texans. Mm-hmm. So
they definitely closed better than the Bears.
Picking third.
They were competitive throughout the season. We'll also go through some news. We had our big ATN dinner with a Gravedigger yesterday.
Ooh.
Yep, a State of the Union. That was nice. Justin, how was that? I know it was long awaited, and we had a couple El Diablos.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it was a nice tequila drink there in Culver City.
It was fun. I had a good time with you guys. I feel like we bonded a little more. Got closer.
What do you think, Mark? Did you feel a
I had a tremendous time, and it was a pleasure to have Justin there and to talk to him. Ever since, I mean, it sent me into the night, and I just feel that I'm on sort of on eternal autopilot at this point.
Both Graver and Sessler have complained about lack of sleeping. Now, Gravedigger, it was partly because his paramour, Jessica, also was out drinking last night, and he just said they didn't get a lot of sleep. So read into that when you will.
I did have to FaceTime her in the middle of our dinner. Had to pull out my phone, do a quick FaceTime.
He's got bits.
Just missed her too
much.
He's
got bits. Wow. He did this bit during the dinner. He had pre-planned.
So good, he had to run it back.
He had pre-planned
the early show and the late show.
It did get me. I bought it. I bought that you were truly going to FaceTime.
Well, once we learned at Super Bowl week that you had a five-hour FaceTime and watched a movie together, I was like, okay, everything is believable at this point. So. But that means you guys are in love.
Yes.
So good for you. Good for you.
Has a little anxious attachment scenario going on there.
Do you guys have, like, in your neighborhood, or I live in kind of like a small town, like a community. People, do they know that you're like NFL network people? Like the people in and around you?
I've never even met my current neighbors. So I would say no, unless I'm being heavily spied on.
I mean, twice in a 10-year period, someone has either seen me running or walking and said, like, NFL Network, I know you. But that's the limit of it.
Really?
And they were strangers. And the
yeah, like, that happens here and there, but not in this place.
You guys seem really friendly. What about you, Colleen?
I've tried to talk to my neighbors. They don't want anything to do with me.
I know some neighbors.
Actually, yesterday, I rolled down my window to try and say hello to someone that lives on my street, and she just kept walking. And I was like, fine, we won't be friends. I won't have any friends in this neighborhood.
Didn't you? Because I think the this happened to all of us during Corona when you're broadcasting out of like a room in your house and you realize it's coming right through the window and into the neighbor's yard or territory. Right. Weren't you? Didn't you receive a complaint?
Oh, I got a written. I got a passive aggressive written note left that please asking me to please close the windows when I'm working and broadcasting because my voice carries. And multiple times there would be neighbors that yelled, turn down the TV. And then John would yell back, she is the TV.
Yeah.
So
it's like a Bronx high rise in 1966.
I mean, you were in a tightly, I saw that apartment. It was tightly packed in there.
Yeah. And I was hosting Total Access like almost 5 days a week.
That was stupid.
From a guest bedroom.
Why did we just keep doing everything when coronavirus was raging?
I think ultimately
we didn't change anything. We just did everything from our homes.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was the need for paychecks to continue to floss their way into the budget.
I bring it up because, because I'm also like a very active, as you are, Greg, I know, a Little League dad. So I know a lot of the people and I've gotten to know the people in the town. And they do know I work in NFL Network. And one of the lines that I get a lot, and somebody said it to me in my driveway. Well, I had the leaf blower out the other day.
Yard work. Who's doing yard
work? He goes, doing my yard work, getting my tan. And he's like, hey. And I could tell he was thinking of something to say. He's like, shit, what am I going to say? What am I going to say? And he's like, recovered from the Super Bowl yet?
Oh.
And that is like that's the trope line that everyone says to me. Hey, recovered from the Super Bowl yet? And I'm like, well, I think the statute of limitations is up on that small talk. It's almost April, sir. You ever get that? You ever get a, hey, recovered from that Super Bowl yet?
I mean, that specific
line. Does anyone live in a community besides me?
What if that guy's listening? I'm close even with a number of my neighbors, but the NFL Network thing never came up.
I'm desperate to be part of a community.
Maybe they just don't. Yeah, they don't care about football, or it's never been brought up.
All right, that was good. All right, let's get to the news.
That's great.
I had one funny experience. One of the rappers is 2 Chainz. And so
one of the rappers.
I saw him on the sidelines in one of our games. We had invited him, I guess, and I didn't know why. I didn't know why he was called 2 Chainz. I didn't know who he was. And I said, tell our staff, make sure you point him out to me. I want to be respectful. I mean, I don't probably listen to his stuff particularly, but I do want to be respectful and appreciate his support. So they did. And I said, I can see why, your nickname is 2 Chainz. You got these big chains around his neck and what have you. So he said to me, well, we can get some chains for you. I said, I'm not sure that's the right look for me, but.
The 2 Chainz.
Arthur Blank, who is the owner of the Falcons, speaking of 2 Chainz. And yeah, you definitely heard the Queens in Arthur Blank there when discussing 2 Chainz.
I think so.
And that comes on the heels of Robert Kraft casually name-dropping Meek Mill making a push for Lamar Jackson to New England.
I kind of can't believe that Meek Mill didn't get it over the goal line, quite frankly. I would love to see their text conversations, like they're just their back and forth. What's that rapport like?
Yeah, I wonder if Robert Kraft is like, I feel like when way older people are texting, anything can happen. Like I would even point to go look at Tom Brokaw's tweets and things like that. It's like a newsman at one point, and he cannot put a sentence together on Twitter. So.
No.
All right. Let's get into... We were talking about some of the rule changes and the proposed rules at the owners' meetings this week. There is a push to flex Thursday night football and make games flexible from Sunday to Thursday night. There already is a new rule in effect that now allows teams to play up to 2 Thursday night football games. But this is an idea of taking... They're looking at the schedule and then based on what, let's be honest, helps Amazon. They're a major corporate partner and gives Al and Kirk a better game in the booth, especially late in the season. The idea of flexing games to Thursday night. And that was tabled by the owners, which means it wasn't shot down. It was just pushed to the side for now, which means there's a chance that this is going to happen. Giants co-owner John Mara is one of the more influential figures in the NFL, and he spoke out adamantly against the idea.
I am adamantly opposed to that. Flexible scheduling as it is really inconsiderate to our season ticket holders and to people who fill our stadiums every week. People have gotten used to going from Sunday afternoon to Sunday night. That doesn't mean that they like it. This year, we could be flexed to Monday night, which I think is really inconsiderate to our ticket holders. But to flex a game back to Thursday night, to me, is just abusive.
Abusive, Greggy. Big word there.
I thought about like the history of the NFL when listening to this, because the two most vocal opponents of this rule are John Mara, you heard there, and then the Rooney family with the Steelers. And so many of the NFL's best decisions that they've made over time have been from ownership like that, original owners really pushing back what's good in the interest of the league versus owners just wanting to make money in the short term. I mean, that's why the league is essentially socialist, that they share all the money, that the cap, it's better for all. That would never happen now. Can you imagine owners sharing all their money with other teams that are making way less money? It would never happen like that now. And I think it's one of the reasons the NFL is so great, and they try to keep the long-term interest in the fan in front of mind. And I love that Mara is standing up and doing this, because it is absolutely insane to imagine a scenario where you're going to New York for a game and you find out 15 days before, it's not that far before, 15 days before, that actually it's canceled. It's on Thursday night. Figure it out.
And I think, excuse me. Absurd. Mara, I think, is speaking out of frustration because they only miss this being
passed.
Edit
that out of the show.
Absolutely do. They only miss. I knew that was going to happen too.
I feel it coming from me too.
I knew it was getting edited out until now.
I knew it was going to happen. It only fell two votes shy. And so I think Mara knows that, you know, behind the scenes, they're going to find a way to get two people to say yes, because it's just inevitable. And it made me think randomly of that Corona era Ravens Steelers game that happened at 3:40 Eastern on a Wednesday.
Oh my God.
And the quality of that game, for multiple reasons, you know, that would be different. But TNF games to me always feel a little tilted, a little strange, a little bit of a lower quality product. And I just think we're moving closer and closer to games happening all week long, all the time, which I know, Greg, you sort of said that was a, you were witch casting that at one point.
That was like eight years ago. I was at a different point in my life. I feel differently.
When we started to experience elements of that a couple years ago, it was like, we don't need that.
Right. So
we don't. And the players don't.
I know what you mean, Greg, but that was just funny how seriously you said that. I was a different man then.
It just was like, it was back when I was working at Roto-World. I started that, the two games a day for the whole season theory.
Yeah.
But now I need more time. Greg time.
That year in 2020, we did... I think I hosted Thursday Night Football on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And I'm so intimately familiar with the games that we've had on Thursdays throughout the years. And the Broncos-Colts game from last year still haunts me, that went into overtime, that was so incredibly terrible.
And that one they wouldn't avoid it. That was week three, and like everyone thought that'd be a good game with Russell Wilson, and that one you still get stuck with.
It was actually so bad that it ended up becoming entertaining. It came back around. It went so far off, but you can't put people out like that. It's so expensive, first of all, to attend a game as a fan. And then it's extravagant to travel. If you go on the road, you're paying for hotels, you're paying for flights, you're doing all of this ahead of time. That's so much money that you're putting people out. People are taking off from work. I mean, I feel like that has to be a non-starter. But obviously, if there's...
It's close. And Roger Goodell was really upset.
I hate that for fans.
Yeah. You can tell he really wants this. He was upset with the way that Mara talked about it, because the light that it painted the NFL. And to be clear, I do want to explain what the rule would be. It's weeks 14 through 17 only.
Okay.
And Monday Night Football is starting that too next year, by the way, which is a huge change. And as Mara mentioned, is similarly abusive to fans. It's not as dramatic, but that's still a pretty big difference. Like if you're flying into a city, and you can play more TNFs, by the way. They don't count if it's back-to-back TNFs.
Like
it's short week
TNFs.
So if you already had a TNF in week 10 and they want to put you on week 9, then you could get up to like 3. Mm-hmm. And they absolutely do that with the Cowboys, by the way, who essentially play that TNF after Thanksgiving every year, and that kind
of. Of course, we want the best games possible in prime time. I don't want to be doing a 2.5-hour pregame show for two terrible teams, but it's just like there's got to be some type of middle ground here.
As always. In the NFL and life, follow the money.
I'm sure we'll find that middle ground.
I get it, but like.
But that's why this is happening.
Right.
Absolutely.
Huge and, deals with ESPN, with Amazon.
My take is Amazon must not have been happy with what was going on. And
of course not. They paid so much money. I mean, before when it was on NFL Network, the network could eat it.
CBS and Fox like put their foot down? You know, and they're just being, these games get plucked away.
Right.
Are they second-class citizens in this? Because they're paying a pretty penny as
They'll still have their protected games. And so I don't know how that rule changes exactly,
Mindfield,
but it won't be
man.
Like the top. I guess what I would say is, like, yes, these games aren't great. We still have three, sometimes four days of games at that time of year. It's still an NFL game between two NFL teams, and more people will still watch that on a streaming platform than literally any other show that is on television that week. So, like, I get it. It is about the money, but it's like, In the answer to when is enough, I guess, is never. But it's like,
but that's not a reason.
People like, still watching that Texans Broncos, like they're still watching it. Like yep. just eat it a little.
Just
bit,
like
I guess
what Mara's talking about, and I like seeing an owner talk like this on behalf of the fans. Like the fans that are affected by this, season ticket holders, are the diehards of the diehards, and they're just going to do it. They're going to swallow it because they care that much. But it doesn't mean you should do it because you can. Speaking of John Mara, he's a quote machine this week at the owners' meetings. He was on the NFL radio on Sirius XM talking about Brian Daboll and his big year and his rock star image he has now in New York after leading the Giants to the second round of the playoffs. And he had this little quotable gem.
I knew when you were hiring Brian Daboll that you knew all you needed to know to hire him, but he's so built for New York. He's so built for the personality of those fans. Like, that guy, Parcells had it, but this guy has it. And it's, they love his animated routine, really.
We kid him. I mean, right now he's Bono walking around New York City. But I've told him, I said, in this business, it doesn't take long to go from Bono to Bozo.
Wow, that was workshopped.
Check the sink on these podcast bozos.
Yes, as bozos ourselves, we can relate to that. Wow.
Bozos to Bono, though, for you guys.
Hmm.
Depending on your point of view.
Thank you. Thank you. We did some research, and that clip where, yes, if you're new to the show, I think it was a sound engineer who called us bozos, and we overheard it.
That
was 6 years ago, 2017.
You see him frequently now.
Yeah, you'll
too,
see
correct?
Him floating through the hall. And Greg claims to have had multiple conversations with him. I just had sort of a sheepish interaction.
I brought
where it's
up
like,
the bozos line. He like, you know, he likes it. It's a good running.
He likes it. I'm sure he loves it.
It's a good running bit.
Greg, I definitely trust you to have the temperature of what will make someone uncomfortable or not, for sure. You said you bring up every time you talk to him.
No, but it's like I think he worked on Game Debut, so I was like, you know, you'd see him and a little bozo talk.
By the way, there were on the Daboll front, there were reports that you know, the owners' meetings is partially a vacation for these guys and a drinking event and a day drinking event, and that Daboll was the first NFL head coach reportedly to crack a beer at about 10:30 in the morning.
Respect.
Phoenix time.
Respect.
He's working off East Coast time.
Walking down the street with shades on. He's feeling himself. The Athletic's Jeff Howe reports that the Patriots will not trade. Oh, Greggy. Let's give Greggy some sad violin here. Will not trade for Lamar Jackson this offseason. Howe said that the Patriots could test Jackson's true desire to link up with an affordable deal, is the way he put it. But it is unlikely that that will be the case, and it will be McLemore Jones rolling forward.
McCorkle
Jones.
McCorkle.
Look, I'm riding with McCorkle. I've been higher on him, than consensus.
It.
He's just not Lamar Jackson. So that's my whole, you know.
I think you've wavered on McCorkle a little
scheme.
Bit in the last
no, I'm,
7 months.
I think he can be a plus starter, but he's not Lamar. The only way they would ever get Lamar Jackson is if a report like this came out like 4 weeks before they actually got him. So
ooh.
That's my.
So you're not giving
hope.
Up hope.
I'm not giving up
hope. I can't imagine a world where the Ravens and the Patriots are agreeing on something, too, just in terms of their history together. But I don't know. Maybe Mac Jones turns things around this year with Bill O'Brien. Like, they do have that former relationship from the couple weeks at Alabama where Mac Jones was teaching Bill O'Brien the whole system before he was gone.
I think he'll be good. I think he'll be better. But you want to get me excited about life in the NFL as a Patriots fan in 2023, get me Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
I mean, I think if you're in the AFC, it's so top-heavy with quarterbacks. And Mac Jones probably is a bounce-back candidate. But the idea that, like, they've gone and got anything other than a middle-tier signal caller at this point. Like
mezzanine level?
What is the ceiling for New England? I find it to be an uninspiring era.
I like this feisty, sassy
ever since
today.
The throat clear, you've been absolutely...
Well, that was a low point.
Rampaging.
Start with a...
I mean, it's a new start with a we saw it last night, Dan.
What?
I don't know if we ever even should talk about it. I don't know if it's a personal thing or
you
not.
You know who didn't see it last night? Me.
Well, it's not personal. Mm-hmm. It's not personal. Mm-hmm. That was something on the books with Justin for a long time.
Uh-huh.
But I don't... Can we speak on it? The dinner?
I don't know what you're discussing. But
well, your
meal?
Your food.
Jake. Oh, sure.
Mark Sessler. Drum roll, please.
I'm so excited about what you're going to say. I don't know what it is.
Maybe even a breaking news.
Yeah, this is. It could go either way.
He had dinner.
Mark Edward Sessler, for dinner last night at our ATN Summit, had a towering double cheeseburger.
What?
Yeah.
Let's play some celebration music. Let's do something.
This is shocking.
And he did it without even... None of us even noticed when he ordered it. It wasn't until the burger arrived and we're like,
well, I didn't
what?
Do it for effect. I mean, I hadn't eaten around you guys in a while, but I just was trying to change up my diet a little bit and try some new things. So. I will say, it might be the reason I was up all night.
Celebration music is the night court theme?
I think it's appropriate. I like it.
This was in our library, and I labeled it as funky romantic jazz.
Yeah. Well, as you said last night, maybe some decisions that you made in 1997 and haven't really rethought since, you're willing to rethink.
Yeah. It's not a day-by-day thing. I'm just I'm trying it out. And
it was remarkable.
And you did wake up at midnight wide awake and never went back to sleep, correct?
I do think there is a link there. I would suggest there is some
connective
tissue.
Right. I would imagine, because that wasn't just any cheeseburger.
No.
That had some real girth to it.
Yes.
It was a double cheeseburger?
I mean, I think we sort of all got the same.
They called them
thing,
doubles, but it wasn't really a double.
I mean, there was a lot of patty
in
there.
It was a big patty, but it was like they call it double because they like have two different types that they smash together.
As a journalist, I must ask, how'd you like it?
I liked it a lot. And I think the thing about food that is weird is like
He's
I haven't
learning
had
about
one.
It, guys.
When you like
Give
it.
Him some
no,
time.
I haven't had that particular dish in a quarter of a century.
Wait, that burger with us was the first burger?
No, I haven't eaten hamburgers. I've had like
other meat,
bacon, and I've tried little things that are like some things just do not appeal to me. That at the moment it did, but it was like I had just had one yesterday. It felt that familiar. It wasn't like you forget your taste buds seem to never
look at you
lose their memory.
Who says a man nearing the half century mark can't reinvent himself? That's what I take.
Yeah, I don't say that. I don't. None of us should. I guess.
Now I want a burger.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't know it was such a big thing, a huge thing. I didn't even know whether we should bring it up. It felt intensely personal.
Yeah, I don't think it's a... I'm fine with that you did. It's not a huge deal to me.
Huge announcement. Mark a meaty. A carnivore. All right, wow. That was such a revelation and conversation just now. We got to take a break, regroup. And we'll be back with more news.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
All right, here we go. In other news,
I
know it's hard to recover from that. The Falcons signed Calais Campbell, formerly of the Ravens, to a 1-year deal. Atlanta's been beefing up the defensive side of ball. And this a team that cannot get to the quarterback and wasn't very good against the run either. Campbell's 37 years old, Connie. Everybody loves Calais Campbell. I mean, there was a time where he was one of the best defensive players in the league. That's not quite the case anymore, but still obviously capable, had a market. Multiple teams were interested. He chooses the Falcons, a team, and this surprised me because does Calais Campbell have a ring?
No.
No.
Nope.
Falcons probably not winning a ring this year, but ultimately he wanted to go to a place that I guess that he liked.
I have an
answer. He just went to Atlanta. Why?
I have an answer for you. He has 99 career sacks. And just as his personal goal, he wanted to have at least 100.
Oh, I'm sure. So, but you could have gotten both.
He's coming back. I mean, yeah, but like he was a cap casualty because of the Lamar Jackson situation in Baltimore. So I think that they probably thought they would be able to bring him back, sign him for cheap. But I mean, now he gets to get paid probably a little bit more with the Falcons, get to that mark for himself. He's coming off a good season for himself in his standards. And look, he had 5.5 sacks last season. That would have been second on the Falcons in 2022. That would have been first in 2021. The pass rush is a perennial problem for the Falcons. So they've done a lot of additions to this defense already. They bring in Jesse Bates. They signed David Onyemata. But it's a nice signing, I think, for them. And I just love Calais in general.
He almost won a Super Bowl. I had to check because I remembered. I thought I covered him on that Cardinals team that made it. It was his rookie season. So, man, he has been in the NFL a long time. I wanted to take this moment to just take a quick look at the Falcons offseason just because here are the people they've brought in that are probably starting for them. I don't know if there's a team in the NFL who will be starting as many people as they sign in free agency. Calais Campbell, David Onyemata, you mentioned those, Caden Ellis, the linebacker who had some nice times for the Saints but wasn't really a starter there, Jesse Bates. That's four starters on their defense. Mac Hollins and or Scotty Miller, maybe one of those two guys is right now at least starting at wide receiver. Jonnu Smith is like the backup tight end, but they might start two tight ends. Man, that is a lot of free agency, and I think that's Terry Fontenot and Arthur Smith knowing, like, maybe from the outside we're not thinking this is a team that is going to win or needs to win, but I think they know that they need to maybe have a winning record.
They have a new defensive coordinator too. Dean Pease out the door. Ryan Nielsen takes over. So there's a lot of change. I mean, to me, of all the teams in free agency, they went for it, but not enough because it's like they stand out there as this
logical.
What more
can you do other than quarterback?
Well, quarterbacks Lamar Jackson, I'm saying this, would have been like suddenly you think completely different about the future of the Falcons. And you're trying to fit Desmond Ridder in there as your guy, and it's a TBD.
It came down to the Jets and the Falcons. He said he thought he would have a chance to have a bigger impact on and off the field. He stressed off.
No. And you know what? He's
As a man of the year,
he is
formerly for the NFL
like,
in Atlanta.
Widely celebrated as one of the best dudes in the sport. Mm-hmm. And, he won man of the year. He's basically every locker room he goes into, he's the most respected guy. So, good for him. I was a little surprised. I was hoping he would land with the Jets, but we'll see what he can do with the Falcons. In other South Division news, on the other side, Titans general manager Rand Carthon rejects any notion that Derrick Henry is on the trade market. Here's what Carthon had to say at the league meeting.
There's nothing new to report. It was an erroneous report that came out.
Oh.
I've spoken to Todd, you know, Derek's representative, and, you know, we're in a good place. So it's nothing new to report from there. I know Derek trains like crazy in the location where he trains. I know the location. I don't want to put it out there, you know. But Derek is going to be there.
Brag.
You know, he's going to take his time away and do what he has to do to make sure that he's ready to go. So I feel we're in a good place.
Was this taken from like the ballroom of a steamship or something? Where was he there?
Area can you kind of recognize like that?
It's one of those. It's one of those little couches in that Biltmore. We were there 4 years ago.
Right, and thanks to Teron Davenport at @TDavenport_NFL for capturing that video.
Well done. Well done.
Great job.
They should trade Derrick Henry.
I think there's no way that's not still a possibility. If it's like right around the draft and a team decides like where we're sitting. There's a running back that we want or we don't. I just love the idea of him. I've said it all along to Buffalo. But second note, Rand Carthon looks like he'd go. He's a well-built individual. Looks like he could go 12 rounds with someone.
I don't know if I had really seen Rand. I think of his father, Maurice. Was that his father?
Mo Carthon. I don't know.
I remember him back with the Giants.
It's not a typical name, so I'm going to guess there is a connection.
He said, I don't know, that was pretty strong, saying it was an erroneous report. I think maybe there were some teams or there was some talk and they realized that the value wasn't kind of come back and they decided now they'll probably keep him. And Mike Vrabel said he expect Ryan Tannehill to be the Titans QB. He said, of course I expect him to be the QB. But he also said I won't commit to anybody on the entire roster being on the roster after what happened with A.J. Brown. So I guess it's leaving
I'm sure he's picking up the phone and listening to offers, even if he's not actively calling around.
Haven't gotten the offer they like.
Sounds like they're compounding their mistake. You shouldn't have traded A.J. Brown, and you did. And now you should trade Derrick Henry, and you're not going to.
Well, then your offense, you're just blowing up the whole thing, obviously, because you have no passing game, and then you're going to get rid of him and no running game. Mm-hmm.
How could he have no market, though? He's got to be a contender.
He's a running back making $10 million.
Yeah. But you can make a deal and get some draft capital back.
But it's like a one-year rental, basically.
I think there maybe there'd be a team that would actually pay him that money, but they're just like, I'm not going to give up anything.
All right.
I would give up a late-round swap, and at that point, the Titans don't want
to
bother.
Ignore the chance to get Derrick Henry with something left in the tank and potentially a chip on his shoulder at your own peril is kind of where I come from.
Can you imagine
I know
the
he
Dolphins?
Hasn't been the same guy, but last year or so. But
we need some trades. I was thinking about that, looking back at, you know, we had all those wide receiver trades. We had the quarterback moves. 2022 offseason, better than 2023 offseason. Step it up.
Okay. Rand Carthon, by the way, is indeed the son of Maurice Carthon, who won 2 Super Bowls with the Giants in the 80s and early 90s. Yes, Justin.
Is there a GM head coach duo you would take in a fight over Vrabel and Rand Carthon?
Not at all.
Maybe Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes. That's the only one that I could think
of. What's Holmes looking like these days?
He's a big bulky man.
Is he?
I'd like to know what Joe D can bench press. You know, you can't tell. He's a big guy.
Sala
can handle himself.
Yeah, Joe D's looking like he whipped himself into shape, too, based on the footage from the owner's
meetings. Joe D looks like the bouncer, like the double deuce type guy. Like he's, you know, not going to win any physique competitions, but probably is stronger than a bull. So I think they would have a chance, the gangrene contingent. Yeah. But that's a good conversation.
Yeah.
Send us on Twitter, people. Send us other GM coach like brawl rankings. That's
what if
one.
Like Mike McDaniel comes out with one of those, like, remember the guy with the green dust that he just spray in someone's face? Just, you use a different way to outwit your
Greer.
Opponent.
You're talking about Rick the Model Martel or Mr. Fuji?
Mr. Fuji.
Fuji threw salt in the eye.
Well, there's some guy with green dust, and it was blew the whole matchup.
Rick Martel had his own cologne called Arrogance that he would spray into people's
faces. Yeah, McDaniel needs something
no
like
class.
That.
Like a smoke bomb would be perfect.
How about Bill Belichick? It would just be himself since he only hires like friends and family members.
Beat.
But maybe since they don't really have a GM, it gets to be Bill and Steve.
Oh.
I could see Steve with that mullet running into the... Mm-hmm.
Travis Kelce and his brother Jason have a very popular podcast. It is called
The New Heights Podcast.
The New Heights Podcast. And a part of one of the traditions, and Kyle Brandt on Good Morning Football does a great job every year breaking down the coach's photo that gets put out each and every year. Check that out. I have it on my Twitter profile. That's one way to access it. Kyle's profile, I'm sure he has amplified it as well. But amplified it. The Kelce brothers, Jason asked Travis to name as many coaches as he could, and it was a fun exercise. It's even better when you see the image, but it's fun just listening along as well. Here we go.
Let's give it to Travis Kelce try right now. I'm the worst with names, but I can tell you team.
Okay. All right. Starting on the left.
Chargers. Standing up.
Got it.
Yep. Sitting down.
Staley.
Standing up.
Standing up. Chargers. Giants.
Yep.
David. San Fran.
Kyle.
Who the f*** is that guy?
Josh McDaniels.
He didn't know McDaniels. I don't know what the next two. Steelers.
Can you pause it there a second? McDaniels looks a little different than he did even a couple of years ago.
Yeah, he does.
So that there's something there. Okay, keep going.
He did not know Arthur Smith. Not a surprise.
I don't think Arthur Smith's wife might not know Arthur Smith.
Oh, wow.
Okay, go on.
Is that Steelers Tampa? Is that Tampa?
It's Tampa, yep.
Detroit. Tampa-Hals,
Campbell.
No chance you're getting this one. 0% chance.
No
chance. No chance on Kevin O'Connell.
Jets. Yes.
No.
After Jets, nothing. I don't even, I've never seen that man in my fucking life.
Okay, pause it there. Yeah, that's Eberflus. I
couldn't name Eberflus.
There's some tough shadows
it's
on their faces,
It's a weird photo
too.
With some of the... Yeah, you're
it's
right.
a bad one, but yeah, he had no chance at O'Connell, which is funny to me. But Eberflus, I think, if you ask the entire country, Jonathan Gannon might be in there too. It might come in 32. Of and, guys who've done a year in the NFL.
And the next guy, Shane Steichen, who he had no concept of.
And it's funny that Sala... I was like, oh, I thought Sala was taller. Then I realized he's next to O'Connell, who's 8 feet tall.
Right. Mm-hmm. And Campbell.
All right, go ahead.
This is so good.
I mean, three in a row. I have no idea who those dudes are. Everybody between the Jets.
Those are offensive coordinator Shane Steichen for the Colts. Come on, Travis.
Jason's pretty good.
Who's mm-hmm. next to Dougie P? Who the f***
should know that one? You should definitely know that one.
I know D'Amico. Who's the other one?
You should know him because he's arguably your biggest rival.
Oh, that is. Yeah, that's Cincy. That's not. Yeah. He's a dog.
What's Do you his, know his name?
What's his name? Hold on.
He's a dog.
No one's ever said that about Zach Taylor.
That's Coach.
That's Coach.
Oh, my God. Coach. This is so
do you,
good.
Pause it here. Do you want to keep going or do you want to – or is that enough?
I think that's good.
Yeah, that's good. He did, you get the gist.
He did drop – Stefanski was the guy as – there's no chance that guy's a coach in the NFL.
And he did –
Stefanski, which I – why Stefanski?
Mike McDaniel had a good one, too.
Seems unfair to Stefanski. You know what was – out of place.
Calling Mike McCarthy Matt Foley, yeah. Chris Farley's character. I guess he was on SNL recently, so he had it on his mind. Don't do Zaddy.
He called
that.
Sean
Don't do
Payton
Zaddy dirty.
He called Sean Payton QBs.
Quarterbacks.
It is a little next level, and I love that because then you realize not all NFL players are big NFL fans like us. And if him not knowing Sean Payton's name is a little next level. Quarterbacks. It's quarterbacks.
I would love to do the column like Travis Kelce disrespects the game.
Oh, no.
Just slaughter him for 2,000 words. All right, Connie, you ready for some odds and ends?
Yo, sure, cool.
All right.
Here we go.
No pressure.
All right, I have to do it different too, right?
No, just, you know, whatever feels, it's a creative choice.
Do it your way.
Okay.
Odds and ends, everybody tell your friends it's odds and ends.
Holy shit.
It's just doing it so
dumb. We have to stop this.
I think we need to go. I think the room is haunted. The building is haunted.
You're welcome.
Oh, my God. How do we recover and do a football podcast after knowing the world is ending?
I just pull a knife out of my pocket.
That used to be such a enduring delight.
Right. Not
Something's
anymore.
Something's changed. All right, here we go. 8 o'clock delight. Marvin Jones, he's still at it, and he's back with the Detroit Lions. Good for him. Zach Taylor said contract talks with Joe Burrow are underway. That is huge. That's an interesting subplot, considering all the Lamar drama and,
keep an eye on that
blah,
one.
Blah, blah.
It's the Bengals.
Anthony Richardson meets with the Panthers. He's the number 10-ranked prospect by our friend
He's
DJ.
He's not going there.
Who's on the podcast. No, he is not.
Raiders, too, though. Raiders would be an interesting
Raiders,
spot.
A little. What do they have? Five?
Seventh pick.
Seventh pick. Connie, the Kelly Green Unis are back
Bring
with the Eagles.
Back. It's about time.
So it's not like a Color Rush thing. Is Color Rush still a thing? Did they get rid of Color Rush?
No, I think that's been gone.
But it's an alternate uniform.
Yeah, they're not going to wear it.
You had a take
ton,
on that, Mark.
I don't have a take. I just think that I always hear like the best uniforms of all time are the Eagles Kelly Green uniforms. And it's like.
Yes, that's correct.
I just simply totally disagree. I'm not saying that. I think they're fine, but like that's an over celebration in my book. Of
what's
like,
your top? What's some of your top?
What's I mean, better? I Tell me what's better.
New York Giants. Everything is better than the Eagles.
Wow, that
everything
is
the New York Giants have ever done.
I'm so offended by it.
I mean, not their team last year.
The classic Cleveland Browns, better than anything that the Eagles have ever done.
Oh, no. Get out of here.
He's back to meat and he's back to the Browns.
No, I think those are classic uniforms that have not changed.
I like them.
Kelly Green are fine. It's just I think we're acting like now the world's problems have been solved because they're going to showcase them for a game. We'll see.
And maybe while we're here, the Eagles chant is a ripoff of the Jets chant. So that's cool, too.
I mean, why is everyone coming for me today? What is this?
Speaking of the Jets, the Sacramento
Kings. Odds and ends is dark. That's what's going on.
Yeah, you didn't show up to the dinner? You're hitting out.
Ghosted us. The Sacramento Kings clinched a playoff spot, which means the New York Jets now have the longest playoff drought of the four major U.S. sports. And that's compounded by the fact that they also haven't been to a Super Bowl in 54 years.
That is all going to end this season, though, Dan.
You'll always have your chant.
In part, one of the reasons why Aaron Rodgers going to a team with a very good defense is interesting in a big subplot this year. Mm. That is brutal. And the crazy thing is the 10 years before this 12-year drought, they were kind of in the playoffs semi-regularly, and they made it to two title games, and then it got very dark very quick.
It's a little more embarrassing for an NBA team. Like, every NBA team and NHL team makes the playoffs a little harder in the NFL.
Who's behind the
easier.
Jets?
It's getting easier.
Now, for the NFL.
The Lions have to be – well, they've been in the playoffs, but, like, they're
– not in a while. They might be number two.
No, but they had even that –
2014, maybe, well, that was? 2015, when the Dez caught a game?
It's the Broncos, since they won the Super Bowl.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Huh. And the Lions are one behind them.
I mean, it's not like hard to make the playoffs in the NFL either.
No, you're right. Now it's four.
Playoff
now it's 14. So it's 14 out of 32 instead of 16 out of 30. I'm just saying it's like the
It was Cleveland in the Jets for a long time because that Browns Steelers game altered the scenery.
Yeah, Broncos post Super Bowl has been like a sneaky bottom five franchise.
Mm-hmm. Been rough.
Considering you look at everything that's happened.
Been rough. All right. Let's take a break and then get to the Graybeards.
Elway was like Seacrest out.
We gone.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
Graybeards, we're gonna save the day. Graybeards, just give us one last say. We're here today, gone tomorrow. Will you watch or follow? Age don't mean I cannot play.
You will see me lead the way. Gray beards never go away. Gray beards never fade away. Yeah, yeah. There goes my hero. Watch him as he goes. There goes my hero.
He's over 30.
Well done. Well done.
Goosebumps.
Wow.
That was some range right there.
Now we have a full band.
How you were unhappy with the performance a year ago report. Terrible. I was not here, but like
I messed up the role. I was not given clear instructions that I was a backup singer last year.
You were assigned to some backing box. I think we even in real time started over.
We did. And I was very nervous about the second time because I still was unclear on the second go around.
Right.
And now I get it.
I think this time what we did was important. We did a run through before the show.
Yeah.
I will say the run through was not duplicative of what happened when we actually did
it. So the run through was a little bit tighter, I thought, than the actual performance here, but by no means was it a failure.
I thought it was good. I think we all felt it in our souls. It's not about
Greg, you did a great job.
It's not about like hitting the perfect note. It's
right.
Feeling the music.
And Greg and I spoke privately with Greg about this. I said, Greg, the final line is the cathartic payoff of the whole song. And you creatively take that, but it's got to come from your heart. And Justin pointed out, because I asked for some lyrical help. I forgot what the lyrics were. And Justin, what did you point out to me earlier this morning?
Well, when you sent me the lyrics this morning, you had all the graybeards. You were referring to them in the third person, like they never go away. Mm. They will.
The lyrics I had remembered. There was some I was missing. Yeah.
But the actual lyrics are more first person, as if from the point of view of the graybeards, like give us one last say.
Which I think is a really, as we age.
Right. There's a shift there.
You
yeah.
feel more connected to these players. And I certainly do.
I find some conflict with where you're going here. You said there is an early line, we're here today, gone tomorrow, which is, you know, that speaks to all of us.
That's for all the human condition.
But then it flips around and said the graybeards never go away. They never fade away. They're eternal. Well, they don't go away.
I think that's the duality of man there.
Thank you.
Know, like,
all right. And then you
it's there, aspirational.
You also capitalized him.
Right.
Which is essentially.
That was Jesus.
All right. That's who you're referring
a
to.
A religious then. Component okay. to this as well.
There's a lot happening.
The original graybeard.
Jesus was 33, so like he was a graybeard.
He'd be on this roster
by the end,
and he's probably unstoppable.
Hey, for the theology podcast, tugboat.
Sorry, God. All right, so what is this? What is this? What are the graybeards? It's really about that song, but then there's a segment we have to do. So this is the 10th year I've done this on NFL.com. I've written the graybeards.
Impressive.
Column, which is you'll see it everywhere, and it comes out on other lesser platforms across the web. Here are the best remaining free agents, and all right, anybody could do that. But I like to kind of just dig a little deeper. Who are the best remaining free agents who are age 30 or over? And these are the players that the league kind of forgets and are ready to phase out. Hence the lyrical and feel of that song. Like, don't forget about us. Like, we are not fading away. Mm. Give us one more chance. So that's what this is about. And there are every year with the unstoppable march of time, always new names to add. And I'll start with the quarterback position because we have a couple new names. Starting with none other than a man that has been waiting to become a graybeard for a long time. Really feels like for about 5 years now. And now he is. Carson Wentz. Here's the quarterback room, okay? And we could talk about where these guys fit in, the order they should be in, but my three quarterbacks in this room.
Oh, you got three.
Wow.
Yeah, I'll probably have a cut. I'll probably have a cut down day.
That's going to be sad.
In summer. But Teddy Bridgewater also.
Cut from the graybeards is when you know it's yes, time to over. Hang up.
I got Teddy Bridgewater and Carson Wentz in a open camp competition, both 30 years old, both first year eligible to graybeards. And then I got Joe Flacco in the room.
Just got Joe in the room because Joe doesn't want to stop playing, and I respect that. And he literally has a grizzled beard at this point, so he's in there. But it's Wentz v. Bridgewater, and I know where this room is going to come down and say Teddy all the way. And I don't necessarily disagree with that either. But Teddy, there's a reason Teddy's still in the market right now. When he has gotten opportunities in recent years, he hasn't been able to stay on the field. And I wonder if he's just breaking down. Wentz has just been mostly ineffective.
I think you could use both in this offense if you wanted to. I think you've got.
We're not going to do that plan.
All right, but then I'd go Teddy. But did you give any consideration to Cam Newton?
No.
Oh.
Not just flat out no.
I think this is one of the better quarterback rooms the Greybeards had. I mean, you could argue this quarterback room is better than a couple NFL quarterback rooms.
Wow.
Like the Falcons.
Tell me,
I would take them over the Falcons. I'm taking Wentz and Teddy over.
My favorite drop.
I mean, the Texans, they will add
just,
one.
Just wait till Cam finds out he's not on the Greybeards.
He is not going to be pleased with this.
Mm-hmm. Teddy and Carson, they both have trouble staying healthy. So when one guy goes down, you'll have another guy ready to go.
Can I say, I want to also say that I don't think Cam is Greybeards eligible. If you're out of the league for a full year, I don't know if I could put you on. Mm. I think you're kind of out of the football until otherwise we're told that you're
in the mix. Teddy fits in. Wentz, I think a question is, like, does he want to be a backup? Does he want to be a backup on the Greybeards? I mean, who knows?
He's going to get an opportunity, though.
Doesn't this one – for some reason, these two guys really hit me with the passage of time, like that they are now eligible for the Greybeards because we were doing our show when Teddy Bridgewater suffered that injury. That's a very memorable NFL moment. We were doing our show during Carson Wentz's rise, of course, and like I remember what a huge Wentz guy Wes was during that run and everything, and now he's on the
Greybeards. The 2017 season. Mm.
When he scrambled for that touchdown, that blew out his ACL.
Even the season before, though,
he was
like,
an MVP.
The rise,
I can still see the replay of that.
And then I remember even after he came back and he was kind of with an Eagles team that was very mediocre, I remember I liked the way he played. Like he was kind of being let down by those wide receivers all the time, and he just put his body on the line. And then I wonder if a lot of that also took a toll on him. But here he is, now 30 years old.
I think Nick Foles winning the Super Bowl and then having like a statue.
Good. Yeah, that's a
good
that
room. There's another quarterback room for now. They're better than the Colts. I would take them over
Foles. Last year's tandem, by the way, was Ryan Fitzpatrick and Geno Smith.
Oh, I
talk
take
about
it back.
Geno.
That room was better.
Talk about Geno going from Greybeard's backup to how much did he? How many guaranteed dollars did he get? And Seahawks
like 27 guaranteed, but yeah, 25 a year. Matt Ryan, by the way, is available. And I don't know if he wants to play football,
not.
But
we considered Matt, but it's just that's not the direction
like
we want to go.
Hybrid coach, yeah. Maybe.
I feel like we watched 14 too many Matt Ryan games a year ago.
The running back room, it's tough. It's tough. So I like Jerick McKinnon a lot. I mean, the guy had 10 touchdowns last year in Kansas City.
I think he's a good guy to have.
And he was the lead back for most of their season. I mean, or as the season went along, and then he kind of, Isaiah Pacheco kind of rose up. But McKinnon's a nice guy in there. Your friend, Mark Ingram, he's up there in age too. So I have him on the roster. But I'd like to upgrade if I could.
He's
but
a good
right
guy
now,
for the
there.
Room.
Oh. He's an excellent locker room guy. There's going to be a lot of malcontents on this roster. There's no way around it.
Yes. Rex Burkhead I put on here. That was also for you, Mark. I know you like your white running back. So
I am not a Rex
there.
Burkhead guy. No.
You're a white running back guy, though.
According to you.
Well.
The star of my high school football team, Rex Burkhead.
There you go. And then I actually have to eliminate this guy because if I'm going to eliminate Cam for the same reason, I had David Johnson comeback season.
No, he was in the NFL last year.
Was he?
With the Saints, briefly.
Okay.
Ooh,
so David Johnson comeback season with a Z.
I thought you might have Latavius Murray
okay.
on this list.
I'm glad you mentioned it.
Okay.
So
this is infinite. This is going up on NFL.com next week. So okay. I'm
are you
kind of
writing it right now?
So I...
Here, give me some tapping with your fingernails, Connie.
Are we getting any bylaw?
Right,
because
I want to be a pro personnel director at some point for the Greybeards, maybe an intern. And I
right
was,
now you're a singer for the Greybeards, so we're getting there.
I was dogging that tape, raw dogging it.
Ooh.
And
no, we don't.
No.
Nope.
If you just look at the tape.
That
sounds you know who was
kind
pretty
of
good
like
in the National Football League last year at playing football and running?
Tell me, that was obvious.
That
we didn't
football.
Need to say it.
Latavius Murray.
Latavius Murray was
all right.
Big back, tall.
He looked almost He was frisky last year.
All right. How about a Latavius McKinnon tandem there?
I like that.
All right.
You know what was sad is I led to look up Zeke's age, and he's like 27. He's not even close. He's not even close.
Wow. Okay, and just because this is always fun, last year's running back room, Jerick McKinnon.
Great signing.
Yeah. Who had 10 touchdowns for the Chiefs and won a Super Bowl. And David Johnson. I was thrilled when he was on the Greybeards because that was a first year eligible, and then it just he just ran out of juice, I guess.
Another passage of time moment. What he at one point in the NFL got a guaranteed contract, I believe, with like $40 million guaranteed or something insane that happened.
I remember the running backs coach on All or Nothing pulling him into like a training room after his rookie season and saying like, "You have the ability to be one of the best running backs that has ever played."
Yeah,
this
and
game.
Another Wes favorite.
They didn't even suffer. I know he was banged up, but did he ever suffer like any type of catastrophic injury, or was just like another example?
Yeah, he had that terrible. Like he was.
Yes, he did.
He did.
He never really was the same after it.
What was it? A knee?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Bummer. Tough position. Tough position. Wide receiver. All right. For the second straight year, we got Odell there. It's kind of where he's at this point in his career. And by the way, there are reports out there that multiple teams have offers out to Odell now. And he was initially looking for $20 million. Now the idea is that it might be closer in the range to $15 million, which is still a lot.
What is going on with this?
I don't believe that. I mean, I believe it'll be an up to, but I believe it'll be significantly less than 15 with some incentive.
I mean, he came out on Twitter and totally denied that, but behind the scenes, it's probably maybe that was his
one
starting
nine
point.
And $6 million in incentive, something like that.
Does he count if he wasn't in the league at all last year? Technically, with your rules?
Ouch.
Well, ooh. He was injured. It's different. It wasn't out of football. It was injured.
Right.
But good. That's good. That's good.
He actually did spend last year on the Greybeards.
Good dynamic.
Note that.
I like this. That's an Connie Holden
checks and balances.
Feet to the fire.
I like that. That's important. For the second straight year, another first-time entry, age 30 season, Jarvis Landry. So we can get Odell and Jarvis on the team together.
That Browns,
so in.
That Browns wide that running back together. That was a magical season.
It's the beginning of the end of this Browns era.
For the second straight year, we have Julio Jones here, kind of a legacy pick. I don't know how much juice he has. Can't stay healthy, but he's a gray beard for me right now. And now we have some other options here. Randall Cobb is another option in the slot, but I think he's duplicative with Jarvis.
You don't
want to
upset your guy, Aaron Rodgers.
Right, that's true.
No more drama.
T.Y. Hilton.
Oh.
Interesting.
Made a couple plays when the Cowboys signed him. I mean, wasn't he was better than some other.
He made a huge play, like right after.
Oh,
I think on like third down, right?
Yeah, that fourth and 31 was to him.
Yeah.
Not a terrible wideout collection here.
How about Robbie Chosen Anderson? He changed his name. Never good sign.
No, locker room head case.
We're not going to have Rob. Nice. But he's age 30. He's a first year. And give me a little timpani drum here because I've been waiting for this. We've all been waiting for this for what feels like 15 years. For the first time, age 30 season. You're not going to f***ing believe this.
I think I know who it is.
Go ahead.
Sammy Watkins.
Sammy Watkins is finally 30.
No. What?
Sammy Watkins, who was 27 for 8 straight years, is now 30.
Three-time making the leap candidate.
That's shocking.
Like a playoff legend.
That is actually
like
shocking.
Like literally a clutch player. Usually people get more respect when you have the kind of clutch moments he had in the playoffs. A lot of big moments.
Juju Smith-Schuster has now taken his crown as the guy, wide receiver that is 27 forever or 25 forever. Sammy Watkins came into the league at 9 years old.
I like that group. I'm going to say it. Like, if everyone stays healthy, that's better than a few rooms in the NFL. Oh, I mean, that's
love Jarvis
and
Odell.
That's together. Better than the Titans receiving group right now.
Well, these guys are literally all available.
Bar.
Yeah. Well, you're going to get some.
Every single one.
Julio feels like he might be at the end of the line here. Kenny Golladay is available, by the way. I don't think you want him, but just wanted to put
You're going to get 4 or 5 primetime games with Odell and this crowd.
Mm-hmm. Actually, now I'm looking at last year because Jarvis turned 30 last November, so he was eligible. So last year we had Odell, Antonio Brown, Jarvis Landry, and Julio Jones.
Antonio Brown.
So
how did that
some
go?
Holdovers.
Very
okay.
similar positional group. Antonio Brown that year, you know, at that point it was like, is he still in the picture? And then I think he like stripped nude in a swimming pool around families, and then it was kind of like, okay.
Against the code of policy for Greybeard.
He's kind of nuts at a level that there's no coming back.
nude in the public swimming pool.
You know what? I think you owe me a sandwich that we never talked about, that he would not be back in the NFL.
We'll have to check out gogetmylunch.org. All right, moving on. Tight end. This is a tough room. Tough room. I got Cameron Brate, who I believe is looking to retire.
Okay.
Okay. That seems like a liability.
Okay. I have Eric Tomlinson in his age 30 campaign. Okay. Pinch yourself. I have 40-year-old Mercedes Lewis.
To me, he's a graybeard. He's
38. The Jets are putting the final touches on a $100 million deal for him, but if that falls through.
I think you're struggling here to find any playmakers. So why not have a guy who's
a glue
just
guy?
A sixth tight end. I'm not saying you're putting him on the front of the pamphlet or whatever you sell.
Wasn't he in the same draft class?
It's the press guide.
It's like
the press guide.
Yeah, would like
Greg is now the team pamphleteer.
I would like this. Oh, we have this pamphlet of Jewish sports heroes. But I feel like he embodies what you want. He's like the Calais Campbell signing for the Falcons.
It's kind of amazing that he was drafted at the same time as MJD, and we've been working with MJD for I don't know, it feels like 10 years.
And that MJD was a better draft pick. That was the sneaky part. He was a much better player than Mercedes Lewis during their Jaguars.
I feel like if you watch Sunday Night Football with MJD as we did this past season, Mercedes Lewis comes up every night
in some
capacity as one of the great players of his era. Mecole Pruitt also in the mix there. That's a tough room. It's a tough room.
Kyle Rudolph's hasn't done much. Tyler Croft. I like
when's last time Kyle Rudolph made a play?
It's been a while. Brady did not get him going. I would maybe go Lewis and Croft, but yeah, it's not.
This is Slim Pickens.
I like the offensive line. And by the way, some of this research was done last night after two tequilas, so there could be some guys that got a coffee that helped
because you were going to work.
Well, it's
on
not due for a week. Also, the Argans continue to workshop it and put our bylaw.
But Daddy's
on there.
Going away next week, so Daddy's got to write this tomorrow.
Jog through it.
This is the best offensive line I think the Greybeards have ever had.
It's very good. So I have Donovan Smith on the left side. I got Roger Saffold at left guard. I got Ben Jones at center. I got Greg Van Routen. Roten at right guard. I got Taylor Lewan. I'm kicking him to right tackle. And then at swing tackle to give me some coverage because we got some injury concerns. I got Cam Fleming.
There's Eric Fisher out there.
Last year he was on the team. It didn't work out.
So Isaiah Wynn, former first-round pick of the
Is he 30? No, he's 26.
George Fant? Is he?
Fant was a consideration as well.
How about Jason Peters as the veteran in a group
many
of
years
veterans.
He was a graybeard, but we've moved forward from Jason.
Wow.
Although he is a great graybeard because they keep rolling him out there like halfway through the season. It's just like, oh, yeah, he's fine.
I just got bored of putting Jason Peters on this list. So
I get it.
We're just moving on.
I take
on.
It back now that I realize I had three players that were like 27 on my original list.
Oh, right. There's a lot of Titans on this line, right? Three, is that by my count?
Gabe Jackson, I believe, is 30. Played a lot of football, was making a lot of money for the Seahawks. I think he could put him in there over Van Roten.
All right, let's do that.
Justin Pugh.
I wasn't strong about him.
Dennis Kelly is a solid swing tackle guy who is also a former Titan. He's out there.
Just use last year's Titans line.
Yes, please.
We're not trying to do that.
Please re-sign the worst offensive line in the league. Luan, though, gives you like the podcast pop and whatnot.
No, I like that. I like that. And he hasn't retired or anything, so he's up in the air. He's with us. He's feeling good. He's feeling good. He's got some juice back in that knee, as he said. I don't know what kind of juice, but it's in the knee. Defense, edge rusher, welcome Jadeveon Clowney. I'm sure I'm going to enjoy having you around. We also have Leonard Floyd. We got some good.
That's a good one.
This is we've had Evan Silva on in the past. I gave Evan a blow this year because.
Sorry?
I feel like. Go ahead, hit it again.
That sounds kind of like a porn.
Because, you know, Evan, is this very serious football man, and I just was giving him a break in 23, and we're going to bring him back in 24 if he wants to join us. But he has pointed out last year, he's like, oh, yeah, you just get these, like, rotational veteran pass rushers, and you could make some damage here. So I got Clowney, Leonard Floyd, Melvin Ingram III, Frank Clark, Bud Dupree.
That's a solid group.
I like
that's a
that.
Great group.
Great might be overstated. Did you mention Mel Ingram?
Yep.
Okay. Justin Houston?
Yeah, he was cut. He didn't make it.
Marcus Golden?
Unless you think he should be ahead of Dupree or Clark.
Houston had some moments last year.
I would. Mm-hmm. He has been excellent for the Ravens, and then no one signs him until about August. He's not going to make the Hall of Fame, but he's like the Hall of Very Good. And yet, no, he's like the new Ndamukong Suh. He signs for like $4 million every August and ends up playing really well.
If you added Carlos Dunlap, you could have literally every player that I went to Italy and Germany with on this roster.
Well, let me make that adjustment right now.
But Dunlap actually continues to be a good player.
No, he doesn't make it, but that's cool. Interior line, here we go. Matt Ioannidis, Shelby Harris.
Mark with a C.
Akeem Hicks, and yes, Ndamukong Suh, always available this time of year for the Greybeards.
Felt like maybe that was Sue's last time around last year. It just felt like it was diminishing returns. How old is A'shaun Robinson? I think he may qualify. Okay. Oh, he does not qualify.
No, he's too young.
He was the guy that I know our friend Jordan Rodrigue thought he was going to get $8 to $10 million and clearly didn't and is still a free agent, but he's a good ball player, but he's not old enough, my bad.
Linebacker is a little bit tricky. I got Denzel Perryman, Marcus Golden.
He's now signed.
Oh, he's out. Okay, thank you. Checks and balances. Marcus Golden, Anthony Barr, Kyle Van Noy, John Bostic.
This is where the team weirdly starts to fall apart. Good line play, but bad linebackers. I think Anthony Barr feels like a Graybeard.
All right.
After that,
I hope you have a good secondary.
Is there another inside linebacker to add to this?
I couldn't believe that Quan Alexander is a sneaky Sammy Watkins All-Star. He's 29 years old.
When did he turn 30?
If
it's before February 13th or so, we're
good. The desperation in your voice.
We need a little inside help here.
When you said that, was telling. AJ Klein is a guy who's played football. He will be 29 at the end of the season, Quan, so you're troubled.
Okay. Cornerback. We always have trouble at cornerback. Obviously, speed is an issue against faster teams. Marcus Peters. Let me just check the 22 team. By the way, tight end last year, I had Gronk, who never actually signed with the team, and Jared Cook.
That's a good room.
Yeah, I like that.
Where's Jared Cook now? Was he?
He's a free agent again.
In my mind, for some reason, he's just always a Saint forever.
And so, wait, you had the services of Gronk in this theoretical?
Well, yeah, he plays in the Greybeards. You don't want him to sign.
This year, he's not in the mix. He's been out of the league for a year now.
You put Gronk's a good guy to put on the cover. I guess you're putting OBJ and
Teddy
Landry
Bridgewater
on the cover of the pamphlet.
No, it's just a giant face shot of Carson Wentz. Like they do him up where he looks sweaty with the eye black on.
As we all know, something like this. Really go ahead and start to take command.
We want to recreate that energy that the Commanders.
You have to.
I feel like
upon.
You should
That's
do
a really
more
good
of
idea.
A like. I know they traditionally play in San Diego, but maybe they could do a year in Baton Rouge, and you just do like a sort of LSU theme with OBJ and Jarvis Landry, and just get the locals to come out.
I mean, I feel like we just did that with these two.
Like a high school football game.
I'm just
game,
saying,
but
it's kind of like the USFL. It's like they just pick a different place. It seems like, and they just stay there.
All right,
just branding.
You're a singer, okay? Let's just stay in our lane.
She's a singer.
All right, my tackles last year, by the way, I had Dwayne Brown on the left side. And then Quentin Spain. Matt Paradise. Where's he now?
Not playing football.
Darrell Williams and Eric Fisher. That was last year. Last year on the edge, I had Melvin Ingram, Justin Houston, Jerry Hughes, and JPP.
Mm-hmm. That group was better than some groups in the NFL. That was a good group.
Last year I had on the interior, Akeem Hicks, Calais Campbell, Linval Joseph. And Sue's always there.
The Eagles were like looking for help in the middle of the season, and the front office was like, forget the analytics. Let's look at the Greybeards.
Right, exactly.
Sign two of these guys.
At linebacker, I had A.J. Johnson, Dante Hightower, who recently retired, and Anthony Barr. And now we'll move to this year's cornerback group, Marcus Peters, Bryce Callahan. Where's Logan Ryan at?
He's a safety, but I think he could definitely be in that group.
Let's kick him out of there. Byron Jones. William Jackson?
I think Byron Jones like said he can barely
That's not
walk.
A good sign. That's not
barely a walk. That's a problem.
Yeah. Troy Hill.
I mean, he's...
I was like, don't say walk.
Yeah, I'm not trying to make light, but it seemed
good.
Like
his
career might be over, unfortunately. Right,
so I'm going to put
a nice
three question marks next to Byron Jones. Mm-hmm. Maybe can't walk. Okay, we might have to replace him. Safety, Adrian Amos.
Oh, yeah.
Rodney McLeod.
McLeod, yeah.
McLeod, Daron Harmon, and Logan Ryan.
That's a good group. And Logan Ryan's you know, family famously was going to that dog shelter with Tom Brady every week.
They so let that thing leak.
That could be a little bit of Instagram pop for you guys. Mm-hmm.
It's good for the community outreach, yeah.
I like the cornerback group, actually. I'm going to propose Peters, William Jackson, and Anthony Brown, and Callahan. That's a four-pack right there if you need four. That's not bad. Coming off an injury, Anthony Brown, but was a good player.
I'm trying to see if Jamal Adams will be safety eligible for me next year. No, but he's turning 28.
He's got some time.
All right. Hey, kickers, kicker and punter. I got two 40-year-olds.
You have a great kicker.
Robbie Gould.
That's money in the bank.
Boom. And punter Andy Lee. Two 40-year-olds.
Will you – I mean, so how does that work with the kickers club? Is there like a legacy wing?
Yeah. I mean, it's – yeah, there's tapioca served and, you know, the bedtime's very early.
It just doesn't get like
the
crazier.
The club closes at 9 p.m. in the Greybeards wing of the club.
It's what Mark hates most in the world, grown men drinking milk.
Good as gold, Robbie's back.
As opposed, do you enjoy that?
No, but for some reason.
Yeah, but who knows anymore? I was half expecting Mark to order a big pint of milk, yesterday at dinner with the burger.
That does not appeal
to me. For some reason, we spent 5 minutes last night on Mark's hate of grown adults that drink milk.
No, just grown men.
Grown men, yes.
It's okay
men.
For women?
Yeah.
I'm not really, it's not something I think about a lot, but like the idea of like dads drinking full glasses of milk is weird to me.
My pushback like was like, is this a large segment of the population? I feel like he's hitting out at a very
I have witnessed examples, and it threw me in the wrong direction.
Head coach. All right. Head coaches and staff have to be 50 and over. For the second straight year, Mike Zimmer is my head coach.
Oh, okay.
Why? Who do you guys want? I'm open to suggestions.
I want son of a bum. I want Wade Phillips, who's killing
it. Player's coach.
He's killing it in the XFL. He puts the gray in Greybeard. I don't know if his hair is actually gray, but how old is Wade Phillips right now? And at no point has he ever not coached well. The last time he was in the NFL, he was doing well. 75. He's 75.
I think this is a good team to bring like Jerry Glanville back into the public imagination. Who
I'm
would
not
lead.
Being a jerk. Is Jerry still with us?
I spoke to him a couple of years ago, and he could not have been more of a live wire. Okay. So I just think, like, this team, you want to spice them up a little bit. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Mike Zimmer's that guy.
Zimmer is a little bit, like, of a disciplinarian. I feel like these guys.
He's 81, yeah.
It might not vibe well.
Wade feels like good vibes.
I feel like Mike Zimmer deserves. But he also fits the profile of what I'm looking for. Just a mean old man.
Okay.
Wade's a nice guy. Yeah. I could make him the DC.
You want a curmudgeon?
I mean, at least the DC, but I mean.
All right, so the OC, I have Greg Roman. 50 years old, he's eligible for the first time.
A young
coach. He doesn't have a job. I didn't even.
Yep. Defensive coordinator, I have Rex Ryan, actually, who expressed interest in joining the Broncos staff, so his heart, I think, is in it, and he's got to be probably in his 60s now, right around there. And then the special teams coach, we're actually keeping the chair empty until Mike Westhoff comes back from Denver. So that's out of respect.
Who's going to do it?
It doesn't matter. Just whatever Westhoff would have done is kind of their guiding principle. Like, we're going to have a giant Mike Westhoff sign in the practice bubble that just says, do your job, with, like, old Mike Westhoff.
Your kicker and punter are combined 80 years old, so they seem to – they'll have some internal knowledge.
I'm looking up
internal compass.
Wade is 4-2 right now as the head coach of the Roughnecks.
667%.
I'm looking at – trying because I wanted his defensive numbers. The XFL's, you know, stats page, first time I've been here, admittedly – they could go a little more. They've got like four stats.
Greg has notes.
They've got like four stats.
That reminds me.
Not including like points allowed or anything.
A mailbag question we didn't get to last week was like, why are you guys not talking about the other leagues? Are you not allowed? It's like you mean the XFL and the other thing? It's not personal or anything. It does not interest me.
It's too much
at all. Spring football as a concept has nothing to do with me working for NFL. It just does not interest me. That's when I watch the NBA and I watch baseball and we talk NFL news. I don't need more leagues.
I couldn't agree to any higher percentage with what you just said.
And I might have felt differently maybe at different points in my life
really?
Or if we didn't have this job.
Or when you wanted there to be two football games a day every day of the year.
Yeah, or like in another, in another timeline where I've got hot dog fingers or something. But like, I feel like we're still watching football. We're preparing for the draft. Like,
you're
doing
Brendan Fraser,
my free agency
the whale
thing.
Era?
We're still doing some NFL watching in the offseason. That's enough.
There's only so much bandwidth here.
That's all I need. I got the Miami Open
say that
to
again.
Watch tonight, you know?
The Miami
Jesse
Open.
Pegula. Let's go.
And remember, our team motto remains unchanged. Just win sometimes, baby. What do we think? How many wins this year?
Five.
I'll take 5-12.
That's progress from a year ago.
I think they stay at 4.
4-13?
Yeah.
Okay. Really? What's killing us ultimately?
I'm going to take the
80% of your defense, I think.
I'm going to take what Wes's traditional role is and I'm going to say 1-16.
Wes, a very
every year he would like talk it up that like, well, you know, you're looking better this year, and then you go 1-16.
Yeah.
But yeah, real future they have.
I can't wait until the first 1-16 team in the NFL. That's almost more embarrassing than 0-17.
You couldn't even do that, right?
No. Yeah, but last year I thought my team was going to go 10-7. I honestly think if I now going through it again, this is a 5-12 unit.
Okay.
Dan, you announced that publicly in your article.
Yes, that's how I'll end it.
Tough for the pamphleteer to go into the season with that.
Is there someone else that can write this? Do we have someone else?
It seems
that
like
can
we have a pretty good
podcast
outline now for them.
Good stuff. Anyway, yes,
you
check it out.
You should do the thing where someone just transcribes the podcast, because there have been, I don't know if it's still an NFL.com writer, but there was absolutely an NFL.com writer who worked in a public medium and would have his show transcribed, and then that would just be an article.
You outsourcing this on the pod is truly next
level.
Could we
just throw in this roster and then put my name in and maybe and just chatbot it?
Wow.
I think it's a great exploration. See what happens.
I haven't tried that yet, but is that how it works? I'm not really sure of the tech.
I'd feel a lot more comfortable if you didn't fire up the chatbot.
I don't know, because Elon Musk was part of a group that sent out like an open letter yesterday begging people to stop developing the ChatGPT, whatever it is, program, because he's afraid that AI will take over civilization and end humanity. So. Mm.
That's good. Well, just don't take away my blue check mark.
That's exciting.
Let's start there.
I think that's happening soon, or it already happened.
All right, there you go. Those are the Greybeards. The Baton Rouge Greybeards? Is that what you said?
I think
they've had a location switch.
We're just going to rip another team from San Diego because Greg went to college
I think,
Tulane.
Like, Palm Beach would be better.
I just mean
it's
you
like
got
snowbirds,
I
go to Florida.
I can just see them. They're like wearing
no taxes.
You like put them in the cash money. I don't know. You could just really play into the Baton Rouge of it all. And they're a football mad state.
San Diego
sure.
fell in love with this team, though.
Okay.
Do we want to do that?
Fort Lauderdale.
No, it's bad PR.
That's where Aunt Darlene lives.
Exactly. All right. Good one. Good show. We'll be back next week. I will not be back next week. I will be on vacation, but we have Greg and the gang on Monday.
And then I go on vacation after that.
And then Greg goes on vacation. And then the show everyone's excited for, Sessler Mania. Are you going to be in the host chair?
Yes,
I'm not going to change physical seats. I'm going to stay right here because maybe this is the host chair that day.
Can I get unsolicited advice?
You can. I'll see if I take
it. The reason I am in this chair, it is known in the industry. I know you think I came up with this name, but it's an industry term. It's the power chair. It allows you to have direct eye contact with your producer. Now, you have to turn to make eye contact with your producer. When you are leading the show and driving the conversation, you're going to want to have that. Right, Justin? How vital is it in our conversation?
Oh, yeah. Most of the time when like a drop's coming up or a segment or a bit we're doing, it's like I look at your eyes and I know when to hit the space
bar. Now I'll move out of the way.
No,
I won't say another word.
I think what you're going to learn is that come that episode, all these rules that have been dropped on our society simply do not exist.
Ooh.
We will be breaking
Anarchy.
Them all.
Colleen will be part of it.
That's like
Patrick
a tough
Claybon,
app for you as the producer, Justin.
I'm looking forward to the chaos, actually.
Embrace it.
From my experience doing the Monday night thing where I would sit there, maybe you're spacey like me, maybe you're not. I don't think I looked at Justin once in the 40 minutes, or I would forget to look at the things he was sending me on the computer because I just sort of got into my own world like I would do in any chair. So it didn't have a big impact.
Yeah, two very different takes.
I will consider your advice as well.
I think Dan makes a good point, but it didn't end up impacting me because I'm just too spacey.
And I'll move out of the way again. I'm going to move back in the way just to say, how about Thursday? It's the Chaos Cast. And now I'm going to move out of the way.
I think that's essentially what it will be.
Out of the way. I have nothing to do with the episode.
I love that.
I'm not going to do what everybody thinks I'm going to do. All right. All right. Before we go, this has not been a great week here at NFL Media. We have lost some colleagues to some cutbacks and other, you know, things going on behind the scenes right now. Jim Trotter, who's a guy that we all have a ton of respect for, no longer with the company. Mike Giardi, who's been on the show and is a great reporter and an awesome guy, is moving on. And also, as people know by now, Rachel Bonetta, who I have so much respect and fondness for as a person and as a professional. I know you guys feel the same way. And she has been a great part of the show in just the brief time she was here and became a really good friend to all of us. And she's going to continue to kill it. But I think we all wanted to talk about and just at least reference it because it is something that has been kind of weighing on the whole media group. And for us and Rachel especially, that one hurt.
Yeah, I think like Jim and Mike were absolutely excellent at what they did. And you just can't replace their personalities and their value. And someone like Rachel, I always found her fascinating to work with and get to know because she was an atypical fit for NFL media in all the right ways. Like, and I think sometimes media houses don't know what to do with someone when they're totally original, creative, throwing you for loops with their humor, doing stuff on social that was completely unhinged and enjoyable, and just doing stuff that there was only one Rachel Bonetta. And so wherever she goes, she'll fill that role again very well. And so, I mean, it's like, I'm almost like, it's just excited to see what she does.
I hate that. I think my favorite part about this job is the people. I've met so many of my greatest friends here at NFL Media. You guys were my first ever friends when I moved here to Los Angeles. And so I hate losing anyone at any point. And I know it's going to happen because that's just the nature of this industry, especially. But it does really, you know, once you get close to people, and Jim Trotter, Mike Giardi, and Bonetta, I've had a chance to kind of, you know, have these nice relationships with them. And especially Bonetta, I've gotten really close with her. I think the world of her. We spent a ton of time together in Munich. And it was just, she's so creative, so talented, and just such a cool, down-to-earth, amazing, genuine person that I'm lucky enough to say is one of my good friends. So she's going to go on and do great things.
Yeah, total gem of a human, like a capital T talent where she could be a host. She was a great host on Game Day View and really brought that show together and was really fun doing it. And I was just thinking, like, it seemed like she made a big impact in this place. And I was thinking back to when I first met her, and it was like a week before the season or a couple of weeks before the season started, just a year and a half ago for the 2021 season, you know, to meet and meet the new Game Day View crew. And like, we had a lot of good times. The Friday Fun Show was awesome, and I'll always remember her coming up on stage with us in London. Mm-hmm. So it's like, that is a great memory to have in our back pocket.
Sold
She's not going
show.
Anywhere. We'll be watching her on TV doing who knows what.
And it was like a packed house in London, and we didn't even give her much like direction. We just said, we're going to put up some various figures on the screen and then just be Rachel. And the crowd loved her, and we love Rachel. And maybe, who knows, we'll cross paths down the line.
But I'd love to echo then, everything you guys said, too, because I worked with her, obviously, closely producing Benched for over a year. And, yeah, extremely creative person, and I will miss working with her.
We did not get better. Hope to see her again soon. All right, now, that's it. We'll be back next week. Not all of us. And then after that week, we'll all be back together.
Recharge those batteries.
TBD.
Fingers crossed.
Yes, fingers crossed is right. Jesus. All right. Till then, heed the call. Great beers. We're gonna see. Beers. Just
give us one last say. We're here today, gone tomorrow. Will you watch or follow? It don't mean I cannot play. You will see me lead the way. Graybeards never go away. Graybeards never fade away. Watch him as he goes. There goes my hero.
He's over 30.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.